are now listening to the Discover Life podcast, brought to you by Pastor Adbosso. We trust that you will be blessed by this message.
Somebody say, I am a builder. Say, I'm not a fly-by-night. Say, I'm a builder. I'm here for the duration. Oh, come on, say it better than that. Say, I'm here for the duration. Amen. We've been talking about the importance of building our lives upon solid ground, upon a solid foundation. People look at great things and they think great things just happen or things just like fall out of the sky. We've been talking about building your house on a solid foundation, building your house on a rock. And we ask ourselves the question, what are we building in life? How are we building? And what stops the building? We want to talk about that today. In Matthew 7, verse 24, the Bible says, Jesus talking, he says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Say this morning, say, I'm a wise man. Okay, all the girls as well. You're a man with a womb. Say, I'm a wise man. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. It did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, I will liken him to a foolish man. Say, I am not a foolish man. Who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and it beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Jesus is talking about two houses here, two lives that we are building, two ministries, two characters, two businesses we are building. A wise man building and a foolish man building. One is building on a rock, a solid foundation. Another one is building on sand. As I told you last week, both houses look exactly the same on the outside. You watch people today and everybody seems to be doing okay until the storms of life comes. And then what we think is beautiful, it all comes tumbling down. I mean, everybody wants a great life. Everybody wants great marriage, raise great children. But very few people, I've learned after next year, 30 years of ministry, are committed to building a great life. I know we are saved by grace. I know that salvation is a work of God's grace, and you have nothing to do with your salvation except respond. But building a life is exactly building. I mean, we didn't pray one day and the Holy Ghost came down and the next minute this building was standing, or the building in Pretoria was standing. We had to build that building on a solid foundation. So if you are going to build anything great in God, you have to be a wise man, a wise woman. And you have to be committed to be a builder. There's a lot of things people want God to do that God is not going to do. There are some things God will do, other things you have to do. You have to check the diet. You have to go to gym. You have to eat healthy. You have to love your wife. You have to submit to your husband. You have to spend time with your children. There are some things that it's like Christians think, when I'm born again, I must lose my mind and I have to do nothing because God's going to do anything. Well, Jesus makes it very clear. He says, go make disciples. A disciple is something that is made. A convert is born again by the grace of God, by the anointing of God. But if we're going to build a great church, a great marriage, a great life, a great career, a great character, a great future, we have to understand, we have to build the house. We have to lay a solid foundation because nothing in life just happens. No great thing just happens. We have to be committed to build. Say a good amen today in Jesus' name. So you want to be that top sportsman, you have to realize you have to build to become the top sportsman. You still want to serve God when you are 60 years old, you have to be committed to lay a solid foundation on Christ. The rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. The difference between the two men, the one built his house on sand, the other one built his house on rock. The difference was in their regard, their respect, their adherence, and their obedience to the word of God. So you cannot treat God's word like a by the way. Well, I love my wife if it suits me. I'll submit to my husband when it suits me. The word of God becomes the foundation, the only option of your life. If you're going to build a great business, a great character, a great marriage, I tell young people all the time, the beginning years are the critical years. If you're going to build a great marriage, people want God to do everything. God has already done everything. And then God gave us the building materials. God gave us the cement. God gave us the sand. God gave us the bricks. God gave us the word. God gave us the blood. God gave us the Holy Spirit. God gave us people. God gave us a church. We now need to construct the building for the glory of God. Paul the Apostle says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 10, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I laid the foundation. And another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. I mean, when we built the building in Pretoria recently, we had a very clear architectural plan, and we were committed to the building process. We didn't have people build their own thing or people come and build a squatter's camp while we were building a church of God. And sometimes people want to build lives, and they build it by the way. They want a great marriage, they build it by the way. A great business like my brother built doesn't just happen. A great marriage doesn't just happen by the way. It's like charismatics want everything to be by the way and call it the Holy Ghost. And they don't want to be committed to building. I mean, you can pray all the prayers in the world. You can shabba shabba shandai hundai, tie my bow tie. You can glow in the dark. But my brother, you better be a builder. Like Paul says, as a master builder, you need to build. You need to stand the test of time. You need to lay a solid foundation. Because it's not if the storms will come, it's when the storms will come. It's when the trials of life will come, when the adversities will come. And then if the foundation is shallow or the foundation has not been cured, the cracks will appear in the building. Then the brother and the sister look at one another and they think, we never should have been married. We never should have married in the first place, because they never took time to lay the foundation. It's like we're living in an instant generation. We want everything yesterday. I mean, I'm like that. Lord, give me patience and give it to me now. Well, you're going to learn to be patient. You're going to learn to love your wife. It's one thing to stand before the pulpit and say, oh, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. 20 years later, that house better stand and that love better be mature. And if you laid the right foundation in the first 3-5 years of that marriage, your house will be strong. I really do believe that many Christians in the body of Christ are struggling not with the devil, but with foundational issues. They never laid a proper foundation. They got saved, they got filled with the Holy Ghost, and then after that, all they wanted was another feeling. They never understood the importance of the first 3-5 years of discipleship. Getting a love for the house of God, getting committed in the house of God, being involved in the things of God, that Sunday is not optional, that cell life is part of the DNA, the founding blocks, the foundational truths of Christianity, loving your neighbor, social upliftment, generosity, being a tither. These are foundational truths that should be cemented in our lives and not just go by, well, I feel the Lord is saying this, or I feel the Lord is saying that. I thank God that the Lord does speak to us. But Paul the Apostle said, I laid a strong foundation as a master builder. I know what I want to build. I know what God's plan is for my life. It's like many people don't have a vision for their Christian journey. You ask them what's their vision, and all they can talk about is the money they want to make. And I say, well, what about your spiritual journey, the one you will stand before God for one day and give account? What about your maturity? What is your vision? Where do you want to end as a Christian? I mean, this is great to be here together, but this is not the beginning and the end of church where you come and receive a blessing and receive a touch. We are here to equip you so you can go and make a difference in your world. Come on, say amen. They're in Pretoria or Johannesburg. So the Apostle Paul says, I've laid the foundation, another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. I want you to know every day we are building in our lives, or we are breaking through our thoughts, our deeds, our actions. Every day we're building up or we are breaking down. We're building our marriages or we are breaking our marriages. It says, no other foundation can one lay than which is that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So we don't build on our culture, our political viewpoint. We build on the Word of God. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. How many of you know there's a reward in this world, and there's a reward in the world to come? If you treat your wife right, you will have a happy marriage. That's a reward. If you love your children and spend time with your children, they will not end up backsliding. That's a reward. If you come to church, you read the Bible, you study the Bible, you will be a strong, solid Christian with integrity. That is a reward. But beyond that, the Bible says there's a reward in the life you're after. So let's talk about five things very quickly. Only a couple of moments on each one of them, 5 or 3 minutes on each one of them. How to build for permanence, or how to build a strong house. Number one, you have to count the cost before you start. Before you get the goal to say, I do, you better make up your mind you're in this for life. Because I tell young people, when Angelique came and sat before me and said, Daddy, we want to get married, I said, that's for 60 years. There's no plan B here. When God calls you to the ministry and you say, I do, there's no plan B later on. Because the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. Amen. Malachi 3 verse 6, God says, I'm the Lord, I change not. So God doesn't tell you to do this today and something else tomorrow. Following Jesus, count the cost. Building that business, count the cost. Starting that degree, count the cost. Somebody say, count the cost. In Luke chapter 14, verse 25, Jesus said, for which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish it. Family, God's looking for finishers. God is looking for people that will not only start, but that will finish what they start. Will not only start as a home cell leader, but will continue as a home cell leader. I mean, God takes no pleasure in quitters. Let's not blame God when we quit. We count the cost. When I put my hand to the plow, I don't look back, as I said last week. I don't have Jesus come every week and call me to the ministry. Jesus called me in 1985, and he never called me again. All I've done since 1985 is answer the call that God called me. I don't come every year and say, Lord, do you still want me in the ministry? I counted the cost. Count the cost. I've had how many people say to me, Pastor, we're here for life. The next year, they're gone. Or people that jump from church to church or from relationship to relationship. Count the cost. Count the cost. Look at the person next to you. If you're married to that person, that is. No. Look at the person next to you and say, this is for life. Come on. Look at the person next to you and say, this is for life. Look at that person in their eyes, not this is for life. Who wants to be married to that? Look at the person next to you and say, this is for life. Ooh, you want to go home now? Work on the foundation. And number two, and we spoke about this, just quickly recap. If you're going to build anything permanently, you have to be committed to first lay a firm foundation, whether it's your marriage, church, career, character. A lot of people struggle, and we're going to talk about these things later on in life, because they never dealt with character issues, things that they've carried through their teenage years into marriage. Later on, those cracks that appeared in their teenage years that was never resolved by a dad who understood reappears in a marriage 10 years later on, because the foundation was never dealt with. Understand quickly that a marriage is not a half and a half makes one. A marriage is a whole and a whole makes one. So my responsibility as a parent before I give my children into marriage is to make sure that the foundation is right. The insecurity has been dealt with. The mistrust has been dealt with. Whatever is lacking in their character, I have to build into their lives. And the challenges that many young men has called pornography that they struggle with in their puberty or their years of development that is never resolved, or by parents that ignore the very issues that boys go through. Very often, boys carry those things through into their marriage to corrupt the marriage later on. So when we talk about discipleship, we're not just talking about Shabbat, Shabbat, hallelujah. We're talking about dealing with the real issues that matter, so that when that person goes on in life, that person is a solid person and has a solid foundation. Come on, somebody say amen in this place. So some of us have to go back and revisit foundational issues, whether it's in your spiritual journey, your marriage, your character, your business ethics. You have to go back to the foundation, and we have to rebuild. We have to go strengthen that foundation, because if we don't, that house is coming down. I never said so, Jesus said so. I'm not prophesying doom and gloom over you. I'm telling you what Jesus said, that house will come down if it's not built on solid rock, if it's not built on solid ground. We have to go back and revisit the foundation. And that is discipleship, something people don't want in the church of Jesus today. Discipleship, the process of learning, the process of value changing, the process of adjusting, the process of change, of becoming a whole person, dealing with the anger issue, dealing with the bitterness, dealing with the strife, dealing with the manipulative personality, dealing with those things, not just memorizing scripture. Discipleship is Christ-like character. We want to be more like Jesus. Say amen today. Then number three, you have to be committed to the end. Build with a vision. Be committed. Everybody say, I'm committed. People say, I'm committed, and they're not in church the next week. I'm committed, they're not in a home cell. Well, how committed are you? You're committed. You're committed to the end. Not when you are 80 years old, you trade your wife for 2 40-year-olds. Or somebody comes and prophesies and says, this is your end time wife. No, my brother and my sister, you are committed. In Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6, the Bible says, so he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Now we know everything is a work of grace and by the power of the Holy Ghost. But notice that what God says to Zerubbabel, this will be by the power of the Holy Ghost, but you are going to have to work with my anointing, and you are going to have to be a builder. Says, who are you, a great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. He shall bring forth the capstone, the end of the ministry, the end of the marriage, with shouts of grace, grace to it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. Hallelujah. You started the marriage, you'll finish the marriage, not in the divorce court. Can I have a good amen? Amen. You started the business, you will finish the business by the glory of God. You started gym. Question, if you continue to do what you're doing right now, what will be the end result? It's like people don't want to think about these things. If you neglect your children, what will be the end result? If you neglect your husband, what will be the end result? If you neglect one another, if you become lazy in your workplace, what will be the end result? We build a building and we think, okay, well, I don't feel like going to church today, so I'll just go watch soccer today. So I'll just go build my own way, yeah, put a brick there, and then, okay, well, I'm now bored with Sunday church every Sunday. I'm bored with going to home cell, etc. So, I don't like the building that's in the Bible. I'm going to build a building my way. What can I use? What do I feel like? What is the flavor of the month? Well, there's nothing really I can use up here. Let's just put some of this in there. Okay, yeah, because this is going to look high much quicker. Praise God. Everybody's going to notice this. This looks good. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, let's just do it our way. Just do it my way. I know what the pastor says. I know what the Bible says. I know, but you know, I also have the Holy Ghost, and, you know, if I wake up in the morning and I feel like the Holy Spirit say to me, don't go to church, just watch your pastor on television, I'm just going to lay in bed. You know, God doesn't mind. Well, my brother, firstly, that's not the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost will not violate the Word of God. The Bible says the Word of God is exalted above all His name. So you better know the Bible, otherwise you will become flaky, and that makes you El Flaco from El Paso or wherever you are. You become El Flaco because you're just building any way you think. No, as a matter of fact, you're not building. You just toss to and fro by everything that comes your way. Feelings, emotions, every wind of doctrine. You just toss. Well, I wanna have a goosebump. Then you run over there. I think I have a demon. I need deliverance. You're confused. That's why I brought up the thing last week of the pastor that makes people eat snakes. And congregation members open their mouths and say, I mean, what kind of Christian is that? It's like people get saved and they lose their minds. Bible doesn't say lose your mind. The Bible says renew your mind. Renew your mind to think the thoughts of God. Not everything people say is the Holy Ghost is the Holy Ghost. That's why God gives us building blocks. God gives us the Word. Number four, you want to build a building that will last? You build on the Word. You build on the Bible, not your culture, not your tradition. You build on solid ground, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. You build on the Word of God. You build according to the pattern of God. He still is the only way to heaven. Jesus Christ, come on. There is salvation in no other name given among men, whereby we must be saved by the name of Jesus. Oh, come on. Somebody give the Lord Jesus a praise offering in the house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, you can do better than that. Give Him a praise. You better build on the Word of God and not on your intellect. Well, now this doesn't make sense to me. Bible doesn't say it had to make sense for you. If it's in the Bible, you believe it. The Word of God cannot be an option. The Word of God is exalted above the name of God Himself. God watches over His Word. When you build your life on the Word of God, you're standing on solid ground. When you treat the Word of God like a menu, you are moving to sinking sand. So you watch a house being built, and some part of the house is falling down. Other parts of the house is strong. It's how people regard the Word of God. I believe with all my heart God wants us to be 100-fold Christians. If you study Matthew chapter 13 and Mark chapter 4, Jesus talking about the parable, you will see 6 different responses to the Word of God. In the fourth category, you will see there are 3 different responses. Those who bring 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, they hear the same Word. They hear the same Word. But their response to the Word of God is different. Number 5, if you want to build a great building, you have to keep the rubbish out. Get rid of the rubbish. Because the longer you build, the more rubbish can pile up. Every building site, every Friday, we would clear the building site, because all the rubble that you see on the platform quickly stops the building process. So every Friday, contractors know that if you want to start afresh on Monday, you have to clear the rubble. All the stones that are lying around, pieces of ceiling, whatever they're busy with, you have to clear the rubble. Now, family, when you build anything, rubble has a way of piling up. I call it issues. Issues in the marriage. Issues in the church. Issues in the character. It has a way of piling up and then slowing the building process down. I mean, people have emotional issues, character issue, thought issues. I'm just a nobody. I don't have what it takes. I feel depressed. I'm going to quit. Those are issues. Because God called you to finish the house. Like the Apostle Paul who says, I've run the race, I've kept the faith, I have finished the race. And finally, the reward. That's what we read. You build a house according to God's Word, there's a reward for you. Issues. Nehemiah, when he rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. Chapter 2, he walks through, he sees, he has a vision. shares the vision with leaders. Chapter 3, he positions people. He's building a church. Nehemiah, a type of the church, New Testament, because after the wall of Jerusalem is built, it becomes a city of refuge. The place is so big, but the purpose is it is built for the captives. It is built for the brokenhearted. That's the purpose of our lives and the purpose of what we are building for people beyond ourselves. So in Nehemiah chapter 3, you will see Nehemiah positions with people. Next to this one, he places this one. Next to this one, he places that one. Everybody is walking, working, 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 working. Then Sanballat, a type of the devil, hears what is happening. He becomes furious, and he tries to stop the building process. Understand, you have an enemy that we don't fear, but the enemy tries to stop the building process of God, the building of your marriage, the building of your character, the building of this church, the building of your home cell, the building of your business. The enemy hates builders. Because Jesus is a builder. Jesus said, I will build my church. The devil will try and break down everything that Jesus is building. Jesus is building the church. And the way the devil does that is he infiltrates. He tries to stop the work from within. Suddenly the wife has an issue. The husband has an issue. The child has an issue. The businessman has an issue. So while every head is bowed, every eye closed, no one moving in this place. They're in Pretoria, Johannesburg, all our churches. You're sitting out today. You say, Pastor, my life is not right with God. If I die today, I don't even know where I would spend eternity. Maybe at one time you served God, but you've grown cold and you've wandered away from Him, like the prodigal son. And today you realize you're building on sinking sand. And as I've spoken, you want to come back to Jesus. You want to get right with God. You want to come back to the foundation in your life. You want to give your life back to Jesus Christ today. Just pray this prayer right now. God is here to love you, touch you, save you, forgive you. Pray this prayer right now. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you died for my sin. I believe with all my heart you rose from the grave. I believe you are alive. Today, I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for the forgiveness of all my sin. Thank you for washing me with your blood today. Thank you for your power, making me a child of God. Thank you that I can never be the same again. I surrender all to you. Thank you for loving me and for accepting me just as I am. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's sermon. For more information on this ministry, visit our website at www.crc.org.za.